1876, brave men pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to establish a country where we could live free. Our nation isn't perfect, but this is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. This July 4th, let us honor the sacrifice of the many who fought to establish and preserve our freedom. Thank God for His blessings on America and fight to return our nation back to God. God bless America.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Longworth.
What I'd like to share with you today is something I've titled The Two Faces of God, Angry and Loving. I'd like to start with a passage from the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 8a. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith that, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long, is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. It is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. This is where this passage ends. But this is the highest and the purest form of love, God's love, translated from the Koine Greek word agape, is actually the source of His wrath, and His righteous indignation. These are not derived from that Greek word agape, but from God's moral attributes. We serve a holy and a just God, as well as the fact that God is love. God, the one who is love, also says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." God loves sinners, but He hates iniquity or sin. When Jesus came to the earth, He came as a lowly lamb, but when He returns, it will be as a lion. Those who have been born again and had their sins forgiven have nothing to worry about or fear, but those who have rejected Him and His plan of salvation will experience His judgment. Scripture tells us it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. I want to read you a passage. I think I'm going to read this from the Christian Standard Bible. It's found in the 63rd chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 6. Who is this coming from Edom in crimson-stained garments from Bozra, the one who is splendid in his apparel, striding in his formidable might? It is I, this is God speaking, it is I proclaiming vindication, that's righteous vindication, powerful to save. Why are your clothes red and your garments like one who treads a winepress? I trampled the winepress alone, and no one from the nations was with me. I trampled them in my anger and ground them underfoot in my fury. Their blood spattered my garments, and all my clothes were stained. For I planned the day of vengeance, and the year of my redemption came. I looked, but there was no one to help. I was amazed that no one assisted, so my arm accomplished victory for me, and my wrath assisted me. I crushed nations in my anger. I made them drunk with my wrath and poured out their blood on the ground. This is the righteous indignation of God. In the New King James, it says that I have trodden down the people with my anger, or then further on it says, I want to pick up a passage from Revelation chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. You know, the Bible talks about a great and terrible day of the Lord. For some people, those who are right with God, those who have truly denied themselves and picked up their cross and followed Him, it's going to be a great day. But for those who have rejected Him or rejected His plan of salvation, it is going to be a terrible day. In Revelation 6, verses 15 through 17, we read this, "And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of Him who sits on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of His wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" I dare say that in this passage it mentions the Lamb of God, but I dare say that the face that He was wearing at that moment, at that time, was a frown. It was a fearful thing to look at. And then I want to draw your attention to a passage in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verses 1 through 18. That's the entire third chapter. This is the last communication that we have from the Apostle Peter. And we know from looking earlier in that second epistle, we know that Peter already knew that the Lord had already shown him that his days were numbered and that he was soon to depart this life and to go on to be with the Lord. And so what someone has to say in a situation like this is extremely important, because he knew that his time was short. He knew that he had already said in the first chapter of this book, and of course they weren't divided into, the letters were not divided into chapters at that time, but in earlier, in what we know as the first chapter, he had already indicated that he had not only given special instruction to the followers of Jesus and those who were his disciples and those who were under his spiritual tutelage, he had already spoken some very useful and very special words to them. But he said, even after I'm gone, I have made provision. I have looked at the situation, and I've made provision for others beyond myself to make sure that you're reminded of these things so that you don't forget, so that you don't become slothful, so that you don't become careless. I want you to be ready for that day. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, pray that you enter not into temptation. And he was very careful to make sure that they knew that his time was coming, his return. Jesus said, it will be like a thief in the night. Many people will not be ready. In fact, the chapter that we focus on a lot of times for the end times is the 24th chapter of Matthew. But in the very beginning of the 25th chapter, he talks about the 10 virgins who were waiting for the bridegroom, and all of them slumbered and slept, but all of a sudden they heard the word, behold, the bridegroom is on his way. He's coming. He's already on the way. And so all of them got up, they trimmed their lamps, and they got ready to meet the bridegroom. But five of them were told by Jesus, five of them were foolish because they didn't bring any extra oil, which represents the Holy Spirit. And they, in turn, asked those that were wise, they said, please give us some of your oil. And they said, no, we can't do that because we only have enough for ourselves. If we give you part of our oil, we may run out before the bridegroom comes. And so they said, you're going to need to go and buy some. Well, they did. And when they got back, the door was already shut and locked. And they tried to get in, but they were denied. They were not allowed to come in. And so it's extremely important that we watch and pray, that we live each and every day as if it could be our last day before Jesus comes back. And for us, we want it to be a great day and not a terrible day. In 2 Peter, once again in the third chapter, he said, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds. And then he goes on, the main thing that he's pointing out here, he said, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue they're going on just like they were. And all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. But Peter reminds them that one of the things that happened and caught a lot of people off guard, though it should not have, was the flood. You remember that God gave them, after the flood was over and after they had Noah and his family had left the ark, the animals had left the ark, God set a rainbow in the sky, and he gave that as a sign that he would never again destroy the earth by water. But Peter tells us here, and I'm not sure who else has confirmed this, but we know that this was given by the Holy Spirit, so it is a fact, it's true. Peter said that this time it's not going to be, the destruction is not coming by water, it's coming by fire. And he said the earth will melt with a fervent heat. And one of the things that we know that is capable of doing that is nuclear energy. And I'm not here to try to predict exactly what's going to take place or how it's going to take place, but we know that for those that are not ready to go with the Lord, it's going to be a fearful time. It's going to be a terrible time, and it will be similar to what we read from Revelation, where the people were crying. They were hiding themselves in the mountains, in the dens, and in the caves, and anywhere that they could take any kind of refuge, they were hiding themselves, and they were crying out to the rocks and the mountains, "Fall on us, hide us from the angry face of God," because we didn't really believe that this was going to happen, and we weren't ready. We're not ready now. So we need to live our lives as if this were some of the last days of our lives. I believe that we are living in the end times, and that we certainly need to take heed. We need to be ready to meet the Lord. One of the things that seems to be lacking in the church today, and this has been brought out by John Bevere in some of his teachings and in a couple books that he wrote. One's called The Fear of the Lord, and another one is The Awe of God. One of the things that we've been missing in the body of Christ, it seems, is a healthy fear of God. The fear of God is not a shaking in your boots kind of fear, but yet at the same time, if we know what is coming for those who are not prepared, it's a fearful thing. And the Bible even says in one place, it says, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. And so we need to be prepared. We need to be ready. One of the things that a lot of people have done and seem to be doing today is simply to treat the Word of God like a smorgasbord and to pick the things that we like and the things that please us and tickle our ears, and to pass by those things that are unpleasant. But The fact is that we know that this time is coming, and we must be ready. We must be ready. It reminds me of there was a man by the name of Harry Truman, and he was not the former president, but he was the man that ran the lodge at Spirit Lake at the base of Mount St. Helens. And when the mountain was rumbling, and when the it was getting ready to explode, part of the mountain, they pleaded with, the authorities pleaded with Harry Truman and said, please evacuate, get out of here, because the mountain is getting ready to blow. And he basically said, I've heard that before, and I've been here through thick and thin. I've been here through a lot of commotion, and I'm going to stick it out. I'll be okay. I'll be all right. And he died as a result of the eruption of the volcano. So we need to heed the warnings, and we need to be ready to meet the Lord at any time. In this passage, the third chapter of 2 Peter, he says this. He says that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Also, as also our brother Paul has mentioned, and he goes into some detail there, but he points out that those who walk according to their own lust and desires, that they have twisted the teachings of Paul, and they twisted the other scriptures, and that if people listen to them and follow them, that they are in danger of not being prepared when the time comes. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And so we need to realize that it's a time not to be afraid, It's a time not to act like we don't know what's going on, because the scripture tells us what's getting ready to happen, and we need to know beyond the shadow of a doubt. We need to know that He is able to keep that which we've committed unto Him against that day. And so I pray that the Lord bless and keep you, and that He will draw you nearer and nearer to Him, and nearer to your loved ones and to your family. I pray that every member of my family, every member of my extended family, is ready to go. I pray that that circle in heaven will be unbroken, and that we will join one another and all those that have gone on before us. I pray that you be ready. If you don't know the Lord, you can know Him. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
In 1776, brave men pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to establish a country where we could live free. Our nation isn't perfect, but this is the greatest nation on the face of the earth. This July 4th, let us honor the sacrifice of the many who fought to establish and preserve our freedom. Thank God for His blessings on America, and fight to return our nation back to God. God bless America.
If we're going to tackle any subject in Scripture, which we do, we regularly tackle one subject after another, we're not going to do it using our 10 favorite verses. We're not going to go to the internet and say 10 verses on and study that. We're going to dig until we find them all.
This is Sam Chess from Grace Emmanuel Church, inviting you to join us for the Grace Alive radio program every Friday and Saturday at 2 p.m. and twice on Sunday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. right here on WCNO.
What are the key elements to being a Christian?
Well, you may not be dead physically, but according to the Word of God, until Jesus Christ comes into your life, you are dead spiritually.
Dr. David Jeremiah gives us insight into basics of the Christian faith. Next time on Turning Point.
Listen to Turning Point at 12:30 p.m. Monday through Friday on the Good News Station, WCNO.
Hi, Alexander Alfano inviting you to listen to the Religious Liberty Report, our weekly news brief on Religious Liberty News on WCNO 89.9 FM at 1 p.m. on Saturday afternoons. Hope to see you there.